In a previous message, I had talked about how sometimes we can feel very much like we are alone. And certainly, we looked at three men in the Bible, David and Elijah and Paul, all of whom at points in their life felt very lonely and alone. And yet, when we looked at the scriptures, what was surprising was that all three of them, you look at the context, had people with them even at that moment. And so what we discovered then is that loneliness is actually, we give a definition, the perception of social isolation and disassociation from others. That is, the perception of it. Doesn't necessarily mean it's the reality. And then we looked at how we know that it is, in fact, never the reality, because there is one who is always with us, and that is our Father in heaven, our God, who promises never to forsake us as long as we don't basically forsake him. Today we're going to look at three very basic tools that we can use to overcome feelings of loneliness and isolation. These are basic things. Most of us already know them, but we'll look at them anyway. Because sometimes even knowing that God is with us, it's not enough, because God has made us social creatures. He's made us to be with other humans and other human beings. How can we restore that feeling that others care about us and that we are not alone in this world? So we have three points today. We'll just start right into the points, and then there's sub-points. It's a very outlined message today. All right, number one, seek like minds. Seek like minds. Find people who have things in common with you. And so here, first sub-point, seek like minds. First sub-point is ask God for help finding those other people with like mind. Let's go to Psalm 68 and verse 6. Psalm 68 and verse 6. This is a promise that God has made to his people. Psalm 68 and verse 6. God sets the solitary in families, it says here. God sets the solitary in families. And then he, further on in that promise, of course, he brings out those which are bound to change and so on. But the point that I want to focus on here is God places those who are alone in families. How does he do that? Let's go to Matthew 12. We'll see here something that Jesus Christ himself said while he was here on earth. Matthew 12 and verses 46 through to 50. This is a case where Jesus was in the synagogue and he was preaching. And while he yet talked to the people here, in verse 46, someone said here, "Behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. And then one said unto him, 'Behold, your mother and your brethren stand without, desiring to speak with you.' And he answered and said unto him, that told him, 'Who is my mother and who are my brethren?' And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, 'Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother.'" And so God places us into a family when we obey him, follow his ways. We become part of the family of God. We become part of, in fact, church, which is an extension of that family, which is that family. Go to Ephesians 2 and verse 19. Ephesians 2 and verse 19, something that Paul says here in defining that family of God. He says to the Ephesians, now these Ephesians were people who were Jewish people, non-Jewish people, and so on and so forth. A whole bunch of people that weren't related, and yet Ephesians 2, verse 19, Paul says, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints." And not just fellow citizens of the saints, but of the household of God, of the family of God. So we've become a family. So ask God for help in finding those others. Now, second point under here, seeking like minds. Of course, we all in this church here are scattered people, and sometimes during the week it is difficult to get a hold or meet with people in the church and so on. And of course, you can call and you can email. It's not the same thing as being in touch with somebody in real life. So the second point here, though, is join communities of common interest. Join communities of common interest. Let's go to Proverbs 27, verse 17. Proverbs 27 and verse 17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." Now, why do I bring up this scripture of Proverbs 27, verse 17 in this context? Well, if we are seeking to improve ourselves, then it makes sense that we get together with people who are also seeking to improve themselves in whatever skills they may have that we are looking to improve on. So, you know, whether it be volleyball or tennis or cooking, writing, woodworking, and so on. We can find groups of people who will do those kinds of things and thereby improve ourselves and help others to improve themselves in that way. Let's go back a few verses here in Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. We'll read one other thing this wise man Solomon says here with regard to the kinds of friends that we have and how they can help us and how we can then help them. "He that walks with wise men shall be wise." And that extends to, "He that walks with great volleyball players shall be a great volleyball player." You know, he who walks with carpenters shall be a better carpenter, and so on and so forth. But on the back end of this, there is a warning, "But a companion of fools shall be destroyed." So we do need to be careful when we're with other people, that we do keep company that doesn't bring us down. And there are several other warnings in Scripture about that, about the kinds of company that we keep. We don't want to get involved with a volleyball group that after volleyball or maybe during volleyball decides that it's great to get high and see how well they can, you know, that's probably not the best idea. Maybe find a different group. All right. So first point was seek like minds. Second point is be friendly. Be friendly. Proverbs 18:24. Proverbs 18:24. Very basic point here. It seemed to be pretty obvious, but Proverbs 18:24, our wise man tells us this. He says, "A man that has friends must show himself friendly." And there is a man who a friend that sticks closer to a brother. But if you want friends, you have to show yourself to be friendly. Now, I say that, and yet I realize that sometimes there are issues with even being able to do that. So now we've got our two sub-points. I said we have big points, little points, and then we're going to have little points. So our first sub-point is dealing with shyness, okay? So it's nice and well and good to say, hey, just be friendly. But for some people who have social anxiety, it is very difficult to move out of their shell. So how do we do that? So got a few tips with regard to dealing with that kind of thing that actually do come from our scriptures. Let's go to Proverbs 21 and verse 5 for our first tip. Our first tip is set social goals. Set social goals. Proverbs 21:5 reads, "And the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but everyone that is hasty only to want." Now, why do I bring this up in regard to goals? Well, if you want to overcome something that you've got to deal with, you need to be diligent about it, and setting goals is part of that. I will use an example of when, for example, I first met here, moved here. Now, I was very blessed that when I moved here, I actually had some friends already from graduate school and other places that I knew, but I didn't know that many people as compared to before, and I set out to meet one new person a week. And I defined what that meeting was. For me, that was, we have to exchange names, and that is when I can say that I've actually met somebody. But it might be, you know, I need to talk to somebody I don't know for 5 minutes or something like that. But you set a social goal. You decide, this is what I'm going to do, and then that way you move or you work on something that you may not be very good at. Matthew 13, verses 31 through 32. Our second point, sub-sub-point, is start small. Start small. So we've set our social goal. Second thing is to start small. Matthew 13, 31 through 32 is, of course, a parable that Jesus Christ gave. And it's a parable about the kingdom of God, about the kingdom of heaven. But it works also for the way in which we set goals. And he says here that the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. So God himself starts small. He doesn't start off with a big giant family and a big giant kingdom. He's starting off with a little thing, and then he's expanding on it in the same way that we can take small steps in the process of going about to achieve our goals and overcome issues that we might have, that we see that we have. All right, so set goals, start small. Third point, third sub-sub-point, rehearse. Luke 14 and verse 28. Luke 14, verse 28. Jesus Christ says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it?" So we should forge a plan and don't get bogged down in that plan, but forge that plan. So we need to go out and meet people. Maybe we're nervous about it. Well, think about what you're going to say beforehand. Rehearse it, envision it. And then that way you go up, you've already got what you're going to say. You don't have to worry as much about being stumbling over your words. All right, set goals, make them small, rehearse. Fourth point, be upfront about what you want. Be upfront about what you want. James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for another that you may be healed, and the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." We think about that in terms of healing. But that first part talks about confessing your faults to one another. It talks about praying for one another. Sometimes being forthright and being vulnerable, opening yourself up to others, can actually lead to closer relationships than you would otherwise have. And in fact, just being upfront, saying, "Hey, I would like to make a new friend." Sometimes, a lot of times, people will actually respond to that because most people actually do have a certain amount of desire and concern for others and want to help them. I remember back, way back when I was 10 years old and in grade school, I actually had a friend who did just that. I mean, he became my friend, but that's what he said. He said, "You seem like a really interesting person. I would like to become your friend." Seems like a really weird and direct way to go about meeting somebody, but it does work quite often. Okay, so be upfront about what you want. Rehearse. Set small goals. Fifth point, focus on listening. Focus on listening. Be curious about other people. Hey, you don't like talking about yourself? I don't like talking about myself, but a lot of people do enjoy talking about themselves. Let them do it. Proverbs 27:9 says, "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel." Proverbs 27:9. Let somebody give you counsel. Let somebody talk to you. And it'll provide a certain amount of sweetness for both of you. And it allows you to not have to talk about yourself. All right. And our final point here, and our sub-sub point, is to team up with a less shy person. Team up with a less shy person. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10. Ecclesiastes 4 and verses 9 and 10 says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has not another to help him up." Okay? A lot of times those who are, inclined to stay alone and not to talk to others and stuff like that, sometimes you can find a friend who is very much a talkative person. You know, I think about my mom and her best friend. Her best friend's the talker. My mom, not the talker. And I would probably say the same thing for me and my wife. My wife is more the talker. you know, and that's a good thing, right? And I remember once growing up, I had an acquaintance of mine, and he at one point, you know, he was the talker, and he was the one that was very social. I was not. We did not spend much time together. And I sometimes think back on it now and realize that he was actually asking me to hang out with him more because, you know, he had a proclivity to get in a lot of trouble because the people he hung out with were not good. But I remember going over to, we hung out one Saturday night, and he was like, his thing was, I should really spend more time with you because, you know, you don't do anything. I was like, why would you want to spend time with me? I'm really boring. But that was his point, was that he'd have that social outlet and yet not get into trouble the way he would with his other friends and so on. So team up with a less shy person. Focus on listening. Be upfront about what you want. Rehearse, set small goals, and those are the main points within that, within the idea of dealing with social anxiety, if indeed you're looking to be more friendly in order to make friends. Our second sub-point. Okay, so we walk into a congregation and no one talks to us, okay? We're dealing with a cold congregation in that case. That's not the case here, I know that. Smaller congregations tend to be much, much friendlier. Everybody knows each other and they know when somebody's a stranger. But I have been to congregations which are much larger and everybody's got their clique and you walk in and nobody talks to you and you don't know, oh, well, how can I, and you go up and you're trying to talk, but they've got their groups. How do you deal with that? Well, one of the things that we'll focus on in this part, but we'll get to the how we deal with that on the other side, is that we as a congregation and as people in the church need to be focused on those who are that have fewer social outlets. We need to take a moment and look around and see who's alone. Congregations can be that way. They can tend to be sometimes to be self-focused. Let's go to Revelation 3, and we'll look here at something that the Laodiceans are told about. So we have three sub-points in this regard, sub-sub-points in this. So a cold congregation, what makes for a cold congregation? So a cold congregation is self-focused, and that is what happened to the Laodiceans here. We have here Jesus Christ telling them, because you say I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, you know, I've got my friends, I don't need anything, and I don't need to help anybody else. And have need of nothing, and know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness does not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and be zealous therefore, and repent. Now notice here in verse 20, the way in which Jesus Christ portrays himself. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. So Jesus Christ is that stranger. He's the person who's looking to try to make some kind of contact with us. And so if we are too involved with ourselves and with our own social network and we don't take a certain amount of interest in others, Jesus Christ is saying we're kind of like ignoring him. And that's kind of what the point is in Matthew 25, verses 34 through 40. We won't turn there, but that's the parable or the example of the sheep versus the goats. And remember, at the goats, those are those that get turned away, that Jesus Christ turns away, because it's like, you didn't do any of these other things. Well, I never saw you, Jesus Christ. But then the sheep are those, it's like, well, I never saw you either, but what happened? Well, when you took care of that person, you went and visited that person in prison, you went and helped this person who was sick, and so on and so forth. You were doing that to me, is what Jesus Christ says there, and says to the sheep. All right, so we have a self-focus that can kind of happen sometimes in congregation. Another thing that can create situations where you have a cold congregation is where you have sin abounding. Let's go to Matthew 24 and verse 12. Matthew 24 and verse 12. Here we have a prophecy about the end time. And what Jesus Christ says in Matthew 24, verse 12, is that because of iniquity, because of sin, because it shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So where there is a lot of sin in our midst, it is much more difficult to have a love one for another. And why is that? Well, let's go to Proverbs 16 and verse 28. One of those big sins, one of those big problems that sometimes can create troubles within a church and has in the past is gossip. So we've got being self-focused, we have sin abounding. Our third little sub-point is rumors and gossip, a sin that leads to the breakdown in a congregation and a lack of love oftentimes is and leads to that coldness, because when you can't trust that other people are going to take your vulnerability and your and the ways in which you open up to them and guard it and share and love you and try to help you, but are instead are going to spread it around and create troubles for yourselves, well, it creates a situation where you have a congregation that is going to split up and have trouble. Proverbs 16 and verse 28 says here, this is just the principle, a froward man sows strife, and a whisperer separates chief friends. So it's a great way to break up the family of God is to spread gossip among it and thereby create a situation where you have a church congregation that has troubles in that way. Okay, so how do we overcome that? And that brings us to the third point. So we talked about seeking like minds. We talked about being friendly. And then we talked about two ways in which being friendly can be very difficult for certain people and in certain situations. How do we overcome that? Our third point, look out for others. Look out for others. All right? And we're just going to go to just a couple scriptures here. Well, actually, we'll just go to one scripture. We're going to go to Romans 12. Romans 12, and we're going to look at verses 10 through 13. But I'll refer back to that scripture in Matthew 25. Remember how Jesus Christ talked about the goats and the sheep. And he basically noted that the sheep were those who paid attention to those who needed aid and help. And here in Romans 12, verses 10 through 13, we see a similar principle being worked out here. You know, so if we can't, if it's difficult for us to meet people in the church and so on and so forth, or even out in the world, sometimes what really needs to happen is for us to look out on those who have needs. And I can tell you that one of the easiest people to make friends with oftentimes are the very young and the very old. I mean, they are looking for people to talk with, and the very old have a lot of experience to share with those who are younger, and the very young have a lot of enthusiasm to share with those that are older. So there's definitely something to be gained from both of those things. Romans 12, verses 10 through 13, actually we'll probably read all the way to 15 here, but Paul talks about the kind of church that we should be and the kind of church that we want to be, the kind of people we want to be with other church members. He says here, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. So we need to put others first. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, and then we can come down to verse 13 here, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. So take pay attention to those around you, try to work with them, show interest in their needs, love to them, and that will then feed back to you and help you make friends as well. Those are just three little points that can help deal with or help us engage with others and become more focused on others and perhaps escape a certain amount of the loneliness that we might feel at times. We have one more message to go on this, and that's going to be the final big point, which is all about technology and how it has affected that. That's a different message. Today was just the three simple points that we had for making human connection, which all goes back to the fact that God, in fact, connects with us as well, and he's just wanting us to all build towards that kingdom that he's setting up and that family that he's setting up. And we're all part of that family, and that's what he wants for us, is to really work and live in a manner conforming to that kingdom that he's bringing.